You know what has been happening a lot is weddings. Have you guys noticed that? We've had a lot of weddings recently. In fact, we have another one Sunday afternoon, evening, for a couple who's been coming to the church for quite a while. And that'll be exciting, too, just to see God move in their life and what is happening with that. Well, hey, as we talk about tonight, I want to jump into this tonight. I'm wondering if any of the rest of you have random conversations with strangers. Anybody else? Okay, good. Not everybody needs to do that. I realize that. And I'm not saying you have to do that. I just have been a fan of that for a long time. And just, you know, there's times where you ride an elevator or there's times where you're in a waiting room and there's just times where you have these conversations. And then there have been times also where I've met people that are in a particular profession, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it could be a repair person. It could be, you know, a driver. It doesn't matter. But one question that I've found that really gets conversation started in a unique way is to ask, hey, how did you get into this line of work? That's an interesting way to start a conversation because there's usually a story there. And sometimes the story is as simple as, hey, I needed a job and this one paid. That can happen. But typically it's not. Typically there's a little more detail to it than that. And a follow-up question I like to ask is, what is your passion in this job? And that is so revealing to find out why people do what they do. Whether or not they enjoy their work or not, I mean, typically there's some type of passion. I've asked that question to tons of people, and it's really, really revealing. This happened a few years ago. I was in an elevator, and two people were talking. And it seemed to me to be, not a supervisor, but definitely someone more experienced and less experienced. And they were talking about the job performance of this younger person. And as part of the conversation, the more experienced person asked a question, which might be difficult to ask, but in every situation, but they ask them. It seemed a little out of place even, but I wasn't there for the whole conversation. You know how you're in an elevator sometimes and people just talk freely? I mean, I was just there. It wasn't like I was eavesdropping. It's like I couldn't help but hear them. And this is what the person asked. They said, well, what's your purpose? And I remember my head kind of flipped around because that's a bigger question than how you doing on the job or why you do what you do. What is your purpose? When they said that, I couldn't help but listen. And then I watched, I looked, and I remember the younger person, he kind of looked. You know how, you know, when somebody looks and they're trying to figure out a good answer to that, you know, and it was so revealing. He had no purpose. He had no purpose in this job, and it was really clear. And then the person over him said, you need to find a purpose. Then you'll find a reason why you're working here, and kind of walked off the elevator. It was just kind of really, whoa, that was kind of cold. And then the elevator shut, and it was like super awkward because it was just me and that kid, and, you know, I wasn't going to follow up or anything with him, but I was just kind of thinking, wow, he's got a lot to think about today. It gives you such insight into somebody. Not only their motivation, but their meaning in life, and if they work for a living or if they work for a purpose. You know, in any job you have, you can work for a purpose. There can be a purpose behind what you're doing that's further and deeper than what you're doing. Last year, when we were living in Blue Springs still, we had a situation where water had leaked down behind the electrical panel. Actually, the panel, well, I guess it would be the panel, but it was on the outside. And that outer wall had been damaged. And when we bought the house, we saw it. It was one of those things that we noted on the inspection, and we debated whether or not to have them fix it. And we thought, well, we could probably do it. And so what that entailed, you would know well, Mr. Pat Jobes, is me calling KCP&L and arranging a time for them to come, and then me having all the supplies. They would remove the meter, you know, and then they would come back and reset it. So it ended up being one of those things where I was ready to go. I had it fixed literally in 20 minutes after the guy left. And he told me, he said, now typically you call back to the main office and they will send somebody, maybe me or not me, but it could be as much as 4 hours. He said, so here's my cell phone, because he saw I had everything ready to go. And I had the whole pre-cut. I mean, it was right. All I had to do was put it up and really tack it in. And what I did is I got it into place, put a couple screws in, called him, and then finished screwing it in. So, because I knew I could be done quicker than he could probably get back. So when he got back, he struggled to get the panel back on, or the meter, for a long time. So we ended up having and he was very talkative. It was fascinating because I'd ask him these questions. Because even as he was doing the work, I found out, you know, he was actually not from Kansas City originally. He'd been somewhere else and out of the country. And then in one of our storms that we had, he was working for an electrical company that came down to help out. KCPNL, and he kind of fell in love with the area, and he heard the weather was not as cold. He was from South Dakota, and amen to that, yeah. He ended up spending a lot longer there than he intended, but we ended up talking about his faith and what his real purpose in life was and what he wanted to do with his life and everything. You know, purpose in your life is really a multifaceted question. It's not really just a simple question that's got like one answer to it. Now, you remember back in school when you would take tests? What was your favorite kind of test to take? Multiple choice, right? If we're all honest. Because you can always find the answer, or at least you can hopefully find the answer by at least process of elimination. Oh, you like true, false better? But still, that's 50%, you know, but okay. I mean, sometimes that's tough depending on how it's worded, but I know the question that most people disliked was those answers, fill in. Because you had to actually remember the answer and write it out. And that's kind of how it is with purpose, because purpose is way more than just a simple answer. Some things you might ask about purpose too, is there a point when purpose expires? I mean, is there a point in life where you're too old to actually have a purpose? I hope you don't think so. Is there a point in life, though, where maybe your purpose got derailed and there was a purpose, but because of decisions you made, perhaps no longer the purpose wasn't viable anymore? Or maybe you came to a fork in the road and there were two or three choices, but you took one and now the other purposes are gone to you? Yeah? You think so? Maybe a crossroads in life and you went the wrong way? For some people, you know, I've noticed that for them, purpose is really a means to an end. The true purpose isn't really what shows on the surface. It's as if, like, maybe they're working for the weekend or just for a paycheck, or they're working to acquire something, and that's their real purpose. It's not the job they're doing. The purpose is what benefit they get from the job so they can get to their real purpose. So having said all that, purpose can be very a complicated thing. For some people, I've noticed that the purpose isn't really their own. They're trying to fulfill someone else's purpose. Maybe it's a purpose instilled in them by a father or a teacher or something somebody said, or maybe to live up to something somebody said. Or maybe their purpose is actually fulfilling someone else's purpose and they're being used by somebody. And it's not really their purpose, but it's somebody's purpose and they're walking in that way. Or maybe it was working for someone that they loved or looked to for love. For some people, purpose can be really scary because if you follow kind of society's current bent with naturalism and the way materialism works, there's really no purpose. I mean, if you follow through the thinking with the way that the world and pseudoscience or science supposedly says that we're everything here was caused by accident, everything here that's on the planet is just the course of random chance, then you think through the purpose, there is no purpose. Not only no purpose for you, but no eternal purpose, no eternal meaning. Nothing that's really true, nothing that's going to matter past when we're here. We have no purpose really beyond any other organism on the planet. We make up our own purpose for the very short time that we're here. It can get very frustrating. Nothing, no future, nothing beyond ourselves. Benjamin Franklin once said, if you want to be remembered, either write something worth reading or do something worth writing. If that's your purpose, even that is pretty short. I mean, it doesn't last very long if you think about it. I mean, who actually reads anymore or has a book or buys a book? I mean, even that seems to be something that if that's your purpose, it's going to be short. The Bible's famous for talking about purpose, but there's some negative thoughts about purpose in the scriptures, which you're probably familiar with. It talks about how life is but a vapor. When we think about a vapor, I mean, that's not a word we typically use. You might think more like a mist, but something like that. But in James 4, it says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. Have you ever had those experiences with the morning fog, though, where it's kind of hanging around? You know that ground fog? It looks so cool and kind of spooky almost. And then you see places where the sun breaks through, and then there's a patch of clarity, and then there's still fog, and then clarity, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's gone. How can you have purpose in that situation? I mean, your purpose is so short, it's impossible really to fulfill a purpose in the brief time that a fog is on earth. Psalms 4 says, man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. I miss those days where you can see your breath outside, don't you? No? Nobody? Okay, well, think about that passing shadow. I watched a child playing or running from their shadow the other day. You know, remember that? Remember when you did that or your kids did that? And I was just so comical watching him because at one point he was terrified and another point it was fun, but he was terrified because he couldn't get away and then he ran into a place with shade and then he felt safe. But even then, the shadow just goes away and passes away. The book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, reportedly one of the wisest men that ever lived, says, "But I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish. It was all meaningless, no purpose. Like a chasing the wind, there was nothing really worthwhile anywhere, nowhere." Sad, because if that's true and there's no real purpose behind anything, it changes how we live our lives. Here's what I would say. Without a God of the universe who gives our lives ultimate meaning, then there is no purpose in life. And all you're going to find is despair or momentary purpose of your own or someone else's imposed on you. And that's not worth living. It becomes your own purpose, just temporary happiness and meaning, chasing things that will fade away and won't last and won't ultimately bring satisfaction. Whether that's fame or pleasure or things, experiences, power, control. How many times have you driven down a street and seen all the toys that had to have been important for somebody at one point to collect, and they're just sitting in the yard, probably don't run, and they're all faded? It's just faded dreams, no purpose. Sad. Wind, smoke, it's like kids chasing bubbles. You know, the only thing better than a kid chasing bubbles is a dog. Have you ever seen a dog chase bubbles? That's even better, actually, but Thomas Carlyle wrote, "A man without purpose is like a ship without a rudder, a waif, a nothing, a no man." That last line there, a no man, just strikes me as so devastating. A no man. Somebody without purpose is a no man. No purpose, no man. So much of our world has got that. I mean, that seems to be what they're living, is no purpose. It's as if life has no purpose and no structure. There's no reason. You know, Cody over here is a police officer, and he says his job is, what do you say? It's a front row seat to the greatest show on earth. Sadly, what he experiences every day is people with no purpose. Because if they had purpose, I mean, at least a God purpose, their lives would be mattering, and it would be have a direction and have a point and be productive. But sadly, it's not what you see. In the book here of Ephesians, there's a section here I want us to look at tonight. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will. You could even interject that word purpose regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. Again, you could put purpose there. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his purpose. Just to give you a little preview of where we're going tonight. He chose you in advance, and you're part of the purpose. Whether you see it or not, you have purpose that's beyond what you could even imagine. And then he ends it, this little section here in verse 12. He says, God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. Now, I don't want you to get lost there saying, hey, I'm not Jewish. What he's saying here is, we were first, and then if you were to read the whole book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, most theologians look at it as kind of the guidebook for church, how we do church, us, the chosen ones of Christ, the ones who are the ones that he has chosen to follow him, the church. We fulfill the Jews' purpose. So what he's saying here is that our purpose was to trust in Christ who would bring praise and glory to God. Praise and glory. Here's the thing. Let's start out with this. Everything actually does have a purpose. You may not recognize or see the purpose, but everything has the purpose. Everything God created had purpose and plan and planning involved in what he created. Everything has a meaning and a purpose in what he does. In fact, I would say purpose precedes the creation. Have you ever, maybe you've never done this, but have you ever tried to build something with no plan? Just throw it together as you go. Anybody else? And sometimes it works out, but let me just say it differently, at least in my case. When I plan something, it just works better. Because I've got a purpose in mind and a plan of how I'm going to go about it, and it comes together better. How many of you have done that? Did anybody else build models as a kid? Did you ever try to do it without the instructions? I did. I remember doing that. I remember my dad coming in once, and back in the day, you might be too young to remember this, but back in the day, we used that glue that was permanent. Remember that airplane model glue? I mean, it literally melted the plastic to itself. I remember one time he came in, and I was so proud of myself, and he's like, well, what about all these missing pieces? I said, well, we don't really need them. He said, well, that's good, because you can't put them in now. It's built. for better or worse, I forget how he worded that. He goes, well, anyway, however he worded it, he just said, well, for better or worse, it's built now. This is how it is. So, but I remember looking back at that and thinking, yeah, what were all those for? Yeah, I have no Everything has a purpose. Everything in life begins and ends with purpose. We serve a God who is a God of order, and he puts intrinsic value in his creation. Every one of us, every part of his creation, he created to fit together and have a purpose. Now, what we do with that, sadly, sometimes is up to us, and we don't fulfill the purpose, but he has a purpose. Let's take a look at a few scriptures. Paul says in Colossians, this is in the Message version, for everything, absolutely everything. Now, when you read that in the Message, what he's doing is putting the emphasis that's already there in the Greek. In the original language, it didn't say absolutely everything, but what it did is it used the word for everything that meant everything, absolutely everything. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels. Everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. This is just, again, a little peek into where we're going with this. Do you see where the purpose is? The ultimate purpose of everything is found in God. Here's the problem. We look for purpose in everything else, and we miss the fact that the purpose is in him. The rest of it is all is like frosting on the cake, but the purpose is in him. And it's so easy for us to get focused on the external things, the other things, which aren't bad things, they're good things. They just need to be in the right priority. But if you find the purpose in him first, then those things line up in the correct priority, and they will be way, 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 way more satisfactory. Here's the thing. You were created for God's pleasure. Your purpose is meant to be in him and to be found in him. That's the whole idea. You were created literally to bring happiness to God, for you to have relationship with him. Now, here's the thing. God could have created you like a robot, right? That had no choice but to serve him. He could have created you like a servant who automatically did the right things, who without any choice at all just did the right things. But I think most of us see how unsatisfying that would be. I mean, ultimately, it would be a hollow love, a hollow appreciation, because we wouldn't have had a choice. Instead, what he did is he created beings with free will who could choose to love him or not love him. But intrinsic in that choice is real love. And he created you for a relationship that was real, something that would be meaningful. Look in the book of Revelation. John writes, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. Boy, that blows my mind a little bit. But let me just thread that out for you for a second. Working backward from that, are you created? Yes? Let's all work together here. Yes? Then are you something God pleased? Yes. The answer is yes. Do you get that? God was pleased to create you. You were something that he wanted to create. God created what he pleased, what he wanted, and you were something he wanted, and that's why he created you. That blows my mind. You were literally made for God. You were made for God. And just let me throw this in, not vice versa. One of the problems with the way he made us, that whole free will thing, is that we keep trying to reverse that. We keep trying to get the idea that he exists for us rather than we exist for him. And we treat him like that. We treat him like our vassal, or we treat him like a genie, or we treat him like a Santa Claus, because we want him to do things for us, and he should because we're his favorite, or however you see it in your own mind. But that is backward. The idea is actually we were created for him, not the other way around. We are created to worship and adore him. Think about this for a minute. Life is about letting God use you for his purpose, about finding his purpose and then aligning your purpose with his, finding how you fit in the greater purposes of God. Now, believe me, I know most of you, and you are great. You are great, but you're not that great. Let me explain what I mean. You really are good people, but none of us are that good. And here's the thing. You know, it's easy for us to be impressed by our achievements or what we can do, but God is not necessarily wowed by what you can do, because he could do it. He's not. He's not impressed with our knowledge or education. He's not, I like this wording here, he's not staggered by how fast you can run or how much money you can make. He's not even impressed with how much of the Bible you can read or how much you pray. All those things are important. But look at this. When God called David a man after his own heart, it wasn't because he was super impressed with all of David's accomplishments. What he was impressed with is the fact that even with David and all his, not only accomplishments, but failures, he still put God at the center of his worship. I don't know how many of you have taken the time to read through like the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles and then the book of Judges. But constantly they compare everybody to David. But not to David's prowess in war. Wasn't that. It wasn't even to David's ability to write worship songs. Not that. You know what it was? It would say something like this. Such and such a king served the Lord, but not as good and as close as David did. Over and over and over. They just keep comparing him to how much David served God's purposes. And the thing is, all of us are going to be measured like that. It's about how much you love him, how much you worship him, how much you put him first in all you do. He's not somebody like, in case of emergency, break the glass and go to him then. It's go to him always. Because we are created for that and that relationship. Here's something I think we need to come to terms with, this truth. In the book of Acts, this chapter 17 is a fantastic chapter in the book of Acts here, because Paul is actually dialoguing with Greek Stoic and Epicurean philosophers on Mars Hill. And as he's talking to them, he does a very clever evangelistic technique where he uses some of their own writings to explain to them the real God. And he uses this phrase, "For in him we live and move and have our being." And the rest of that verse says, "And even as some of your own writers say, and he just goes on to quote them. But think about this. In him we live and move and have our being. It's so easy to start to depend on yourself. Pat and I were talking briefly right before service, and he said, can I say what you said? I didn't ask you for permission earlier, but he said something that stuck with me, and I'm thinking about it right here. He said, I'm feeling old today. I don't like feeling old. He's not used to feeling old. And for some of us, occasionally you do feel old. But on the other days, do you think about your moving and living and breathing in him? Probably not. Because we just go through life and we nonchalantly live and we automatically do what we do. And we seldom think and are conscious of the fact that every part of our being is not only by him, but for him. Everything we do, we live, we move, we breathe, we have our being is rooted in him. It's amazing. Everything has purpose. Not only that, everything has purpose, but you also have a unique purpose. Every single one of you. Every single one. I think about this and it blows my mind. He designed you uniquely for a purpose. Now, you may be sitting here and think, I don't really have that much unique about me, and I don't see a whole lot of purpose beyond, yes, I can at least worship God, because if that's my purpose, I can do that, which is awesome. But it goes beyond that. He actually created you for a unique purpose. And maybe you look around the room and you see some people who have really unique purposes, and it's clear what their purpose is. And you may, in your own self, think, I'm not sure that I have any of that. But he did. Every single one of you, he designed for a specific purpose. Let me say it this way. You existed in the mind of God before you were ever born, before your parents had any idea that you were coming, that you were on the way. Remember how it used to be? Nowadays, people are checking. Am I pregnant yet? Or they're trying to get pregnant and all that. Things have totally changed. But I know, I remember when my sister was born, my parents were shocked. And it was like, oh my goodness. And everybody back then was a surprise. Do you remember? Nowadays you hear, oh, she was a surprise, and it's like an insult. But back then, we were all surprises. That's just how it was. But here's the thing. You were never a surprise to God. He knew you before you were even born. Before you existed in the mind of God. Before you even took a breath, you had meaning and purpose beyond what you could even imagine. I have a hard time getting my mind around that thought, that the God of the universe knew me, Dennis. Why would he care about little me? But he did. He knew me, and he knew you before you were even born. One of my favorite passages of scripture, Psalm 139, and this part especially, it says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Candace, I'm thinking about you and that coming up on Monday. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Think about this for a minute. A lot of times we make the mistake of thinking people who wrote this back, this would be 3,000 years ago or so, right? 2,600 years ago or so. Like they didn't understand things. Now, granted, we know a lot more scientifically than they knew back then, but they knew this. They knew that a miracle happened inside of a woman and that a baby was formed in there. They knew that. And when he says this, he says, God, you knew all about me as I was developed and created. And he watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. He saw you before you were born. Every day of your life was recorded in his book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. This verse, I don't know if I've ever read it this way except in preparing this sermon. Do you think God thinks about you? It says right there he does. I never really thought about that before. I think, honestly, most of the time I'm thinking, I hope I don't bug him today. I hope I get everything right today. I think of it more like a principle, like I don't want to be on his mind, right? But I need to reverse that thinking. He thinks about you and he's thought about you before you were even born. How precious are your thoughts about me, oh God? We can't even number the thoughts that God has for you. Do you realize how precious you are to him? Purpose is just the beginning of what he has for you, because you are special. You matter to him in every way. I like this. Your existence, your literal existence on the planet is evidence that the world needs something that only your life can offer. You're that important. You matter that much. That you bring unique value to the world, value that nobody else could bring. Let's look at some other scripture. Ephesians 1:4, again in the Message. It says, long before he laid down earth's foundations, God had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love to make us whole and holy by his love. That verse right there, you should all memorize it. Now, this is in the Message, so it's probably not familiar if you've grown up on King James or NIV like I did. But long before he laid the earth's foundations, God had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love to make us whole and holy by his love. That blows my mind. He thought about us before the earth was even formed and thought of us worthy as being the focus of who he is and his love. Not only does everything have a purpose, your purpose makes you unique, but let me just say this. Purpose is fulfillment. You finding purpose is you finding fulfillment to your life. Let me say this a couple different ways. When you embrace your God-given purpose, you unleash your God-given potential. I see a lot of people who I think aren't living up to potential because I know God has more for them and more in them. God wants more in them. And I wonder sometimes if it's only because they're just not connected to the source of all that. They don't see who they are in Christ and what God could do through them. And because of that, they don't live up to that potential. And once you get God's purpose, then you can turn that into passion. And it'll be so much more satisfying when you know what his passion is for you and you commit to it and then you're faithful to that. You will find life is be totally different. And there's no expiration date on any of this. The fact is our God takes every one of our mistakes and our failures and he turns them into beautiful, beautiful things. And he does it consistently and all the time. There's a philosopher, he wrote a long time ago. I found this quote and I paraphrased it just a little bit. He's not around anymore, so he can't get mad at me. But life is not simply lost by dying. Life is lost minute by minute, day by day, in all the thousands of ways in which men and women live their lives without purpose. Do you ever think of that? Day by day, there are people living their lives without purpose, and that's actually dying before they die. They're not living to the fullest potential. They're not living out the purpose that God put inside of them from the beginning of the world. I think one of the things you need to do is affirm your identity in Christ and accept the fact that he has purpose for you. It might be hard for you to embrace that. As much as I know it and preach it, I still go back to it and thank God, wow, you care about me, little old me. And I need to remind myself of that all the time. Ask yourself this question. If you were on God's mind and he had a purpose for you before he laid the foundations of the earth, what was it? Spend some time. I want you to spend some time doing that. Ask him. God, I was on your mind. What were you thinking? What were you thinking when you were thinking about Laura before the foundation of the earth? When you were thinking about David? When you were thinking about Tim? When you were thinking about every one of us? What was it that was on your mind as you were thinking about us? You need to affirm that identity. God made you unique. I think maybe sometimes it's easier to do this in the third person. You know, when I think of Elaine, for instance, she's a very complex person. She has personality. She has giftings. She has things that she does no one else can do. She does it in a certain way. She has heart motivations that are different, a temperament that's different, talents, experiences collected over a lifetime, different passions that make her different than all of us and a unique contribution. Paul, again, puts it this way in Ephesians. He said, for we are God's masterpiece. You could put Elaine in there. Elaine is God's masterpiece. Put you in there. I am God's masterpiece. What do you think of when you think of masterpiece? What do you think? What comes to mind immediately? A painting, right? Me too. I just think of it like, and I think of a Renaissance painting, certainly not a modern painting. No offense to any of y'all, but I think of something like that only someone, a master could paint, right? A masterpiece. And he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us to do long ago. Here's what's great about this. For most of us, we haven't followed his purpose all our life and maybe didn't even know what it was. And so because of that, maybe you feel like you haven't fulfilled his purpose. And you might be thinking, great, I've missed it. But you haven't. The fact is, in Christ, he creates you anew and creates you as a masterpiece. Now, this is the New Living Translation. In the NIV, it says, we are God's handiwork. What do you think of when you hear the word handiwork? I think of cross stitch. I don't know why, but hand, maybe because it's hand, I don't know. Handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Take those words right there. King James uses the word workmanship. You are God's workmanship. But those are all the same word in the Greek. Workmanship, handiwork, masterpiece. That's you. When you look at each other, I hope you see each other that way, and I hope you affirm that in each other and in yourselves. You are a masterpiece, a handiwork, a workmanship of God. We need to accept that. We need to affirm it. We need to celebrate it in each other. We need to own that. I'm going to take you to just couple other scriptures. Jeremiah 29:11, very famous scripture. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." This originally was prophet Jeremiah prophesying to the people of Israel who were in and going in captivity. So he was telling them, yes, I know the world looks bleak. Your future looks bleak. 70 years bleak. But I have a plan for you. And so some people, you know, get, the fact is you can still apply this to us because he has plans for us like that. Plans to prosper us, a purpose to prosper us, things that he has planned for us to do. Here's with all of this. You need to commit to being faithful to this purpose. It's one thing to have a purpose, but if we don't follow through and we're not faithful, then it's just not going to happen. I think for a lot of times we get confused and we get so confused on God, what is the purpose? And what he's more concerned a bit about is how you achieve the purpose, and that's through faithfulness. What if you looked at it a little different? Instead of looking for some great big great purpose, but did little things in a faithful way towards your purpose. Whatever you're doing, do it with all your heart. Give it your best. Whether it's raising your kids or encouraging those around you or helping your neighbors or sharing your faith or teaching kids or mentoring a new believer or volunteering in a ministry or working at your job, whatever it is, you will find that purpose as you consistently and faithfully follow that. Be faithful in the now and let God show you what that purpose is. And that may change and upgrade into ministry. I don't know, you can call it ministry if you want, but the fact is everything we do is ministry. We're ministering to the Lord when we're fulfilling the purpose that he gave us. That's how it works. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, and it becomes ministry. And you may wonder, okay, Pastor Dennis, how do you do this? What if I don't even know what my purpose is? Guess what? We can go back to the Bible for an answer for that. Jeremiah 29:11 again. Usually we don't read the rest of the verses in that section. Isn't it funny how we do that? We pick out one part we really like, and we just don't read the rest. But in context, if you read the rest of this, this is still the same prophet prophesying to Israel, and it goes right along with this. He's saying, I have a plan for you. My plans are good. I have plans for you. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days, when you pray, I will listen. We just want the good and the promises, right? We don't want to do the pray part. We just want him to give us stuff without doing our part. Our part here is to pray. And he says he will listen, but it doesn't stop there. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Then he talks about the captivity. I will end your captivity, restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again into your own land. And it doesn't stop there. It's about purpose. It's about your purpose. He will do those things and bring you to purpose. But you might need to just clarify and ask him what that is. And it may mean that you change what you do and how you do it, where that you look for that purpose. But here's what I want to leave you with tonight. The thing I want to leave you with the most is that you are specially created with purpose. Maybe you haven't felt that. Maybe you've thought you've missed it, or you're not sure what it is, or it's passed and the train left the station and it's gone. What I'm telling you is that's never true with God. Not only that, he knew who you were before the creation of the earth, and you're on his mind. He thought thoughts of you that you can't number. That's amazing to me. And he has a purpose for you that doesn't end. The fact is that as you seek him, let's get that verse again. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. In that verse before, in those days when you pray, I will listen. I will be found by you. That's what he's going to do. I want to pray for you, and then I want to invite you to seek him tonight, right now, tomorrow, the next day. I want to invite you to keep seeking him. Ask him that question. God, when I was on your mind way, 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 way back then, what were you thinking of me? What was it? And find that purpose. God, I bless these people today. I am so overwhelmed and grateful that we were on your mind. Again, just it's hard for me to fathom that you care about me. And I'm so grateful for that. I pray, God, that for each one of us, you would just drill that into our hearts and minds and reassure us of that, regardless of what else has been said to us or what lies we've believed about ourselves or our character, that you love us, you specially created us, you have a purpose in mind that is beyond what we could even imagine. And God, I pray that that would just overwhelm us over and over and over. And I pray, God, that as we seek you, you've promised you will be found by us, and we embrace that, and that's what we want. In Jesus' name, amen. Spend some time seeking him.